to you.
No.
They're wanting to get you out of there to get another one in there.
And they won't look at you unless you have a lab test.
That's it. And that, I'm going to tell you, Faye went up there to that Dr. Andrew. They sent him there, and the first trip was $54.
Well, I know.
And then he after it was around $84 was all together, and then he sent him to Dr. Cunningham, and Cunningham's about as much as Dr. Andrews was. And then didn't do a darn thing for him whenever they done all that. But Jane Wood down at store one day, she told me, she says that, said, my neck, I've got such a crank in my neck. Yes, sir, like I can't turn my head down. I mean, she had it about like that. And I said, well, let's rub it with mustard oil. Well, they have it in the store now down at Elston. And so I went to the house and got mine and come back, rubbed her neck good with it, and I'm going to tell you what, in no time before she couldn't even tell she had it. It was out of there.
Well, now that's it. Well, now you think she would know about them remedies she brought up amongst them, Mabel?
Yeah, does look, but she had never thought about it.
She doctors her children, don't she, or
did? Well, I guess she did. Lots of things I've told Jane that Jane has done, and that Cora Smith, that I could look at that boy of hers, I said, all right, Cora, I said, if you don't do something, that boy's going to be sick. And she said, just as sure as she didn't do it, he come down with fever. That you can look at the color, and you can tell that by the breath. Their breath will get smelling so bad you can't understand it, Roller. If you give them something to work them out, methylmagnesia, something like that, you can save them from having those spells. And then Chillings has sometimes has got worms, too.
Oh.
They sure do.
What do you do for that?
Well, you just... Well, I tell you the truth, guy, what my mama used to do, it's a devil of a remedy. She'd get this Jerusalem oak weed, you know what that is, and she used the seed. Well, I understand you use the roots, and the roots would be just about as, you know, as good as the seed.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd take the old seed and cook them up in syrup, kind of make us, you know, thick in the syrup, and she'd give us a teaspoonful a day of those things for there for 2 or 3 days. And if it's a worm, that's coming out of there. And it's a lot of things that Flo Richardson used to take it once in a while, her, you know, take worm medicine, she said, because even after we're grown, we're full of them, these pen worms. And, but my mama give it to us every year for those worms. Something won't her in the spring of the year, she'd give it to us. And
you got to worm all these animals, of course, they're eating
right
off the ground.
Well, I don't care. We eat, when we eat vegetable stuff, it's off the ground.
Yeah.
And so hogs get them.
Yeah.
And all such things as that. And so I know children is full of them because I've seen them, my mama give them things that they'd work them on out. And it's a lot of things that, you know, the worms that can cause. And
what's the chief trouble you have when you're raising hogs?
Now I don't know too much about hogs because me and hogs didn't know I'd like to eat them, but I didn't want to fool with them.
You handle calves.
I like to handle my cows, but I didn't know those were the hog business. You go out there and you'd had a bath and. And, you know, go in there in the afternoon, try to feed up, and they root up against your legs, you know, and your dress. You come back to the house and ask, you have to have another bath. I should like to fool with hogs.
Well, now, you know, Ruth Smith, she just talks like raising hogs, just like poetry, just like eating candy. Nothing pleases her.
Well, now, Faye, I mean, carrying them up there is crazy about their hogs, too, and they're making money on their hogs, too. Because they have got them pretty well advertised, and she goes to these big sales to Jessup, Georgia, and I went up there, you know, several weeks ago, and she bought two up there, and she went, was it Pensacola or somewhere? No, it wasn't, it's Alabama. Dothan, Alabama, I think it was. She went up there to a big hog sale. And you see, they put your name down, and then they advertise it all in these here bulletins. And I think some of the hogs sold $5,000 up there, you see, and she bought some of those hogs and brought them up in, so all her, their names in all those bulletins now, where these hogs came from, and she can't supply the people with hogs. People call them there wanting them.
Oh, I didn't.
For stock hogs and things that way.
Well, they'll get out of the calf business.
Well, I don't think they fool them. Well, they got some, but I don't think they fool with them like they did. Well, for you, honey, I better get back on over here with that shanty. Well, Guy, you do what? You take that part of liver pill and you dose the castor oil and see what that hits you.
This, I took some of this and I can't even tell any difference.
I can't.
That's cast care.
Uh huh. Well, that's it. That's for babies. You know, baby.
Oh.
Well, that's just about the way it affected me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take though, take at least, I'd do that, them quarter liver pill for 5 nights.
Uh-huh.
Every night,
about 2 of them. And then the 5th morning, take your dose of castor oil.
Yeah.
Well, he's tried to ignore it, you know, and then he just gets a heavy in his head.
Well, that sounds like malarial to me.
Oh.
And that's the way it affects you.
That's right. It feels sort of like old malaria.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Now that's just
so would this be good for malaria?
Oh yeah, it'll get that when you get that liver to action. You see, that throws that the poison out of you. But whenever you're so blooming full of poison, you know, that when that shot was put in my arm, there I had a chill. I'd had one on Friday and I had another one on Sunday morning, and they sent for my mother. And Phil didn't think about me being in that shape. You know, that bad off. And the sun was setting the whole afternoon. Yeah, I mean all day. And the sun didn't even set in that direction. And it looked like to me, my mother would never get that thing to just come and go, come and go. And they sent for the doctor at the same time. And it looked like right over the locked fence that sun was going down. And I thought if it ever gets down over that fence, that'll be the end of me.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, you know, people say, in other words, I heard somebody say the other day, well, this girl that died at Micanopy up there, Pauline Graham, was buried Sunday's week ago, I think it was. They said that she said she had been near enough death that she saw what was on the other side. Well, now I saw what was over the side of that fence down there, but I was just that delirious, and now she was sick enough that she was seeing, but it wasn't what was on up yonder with God and all. Now, I know better than that. Now, that's all we got to go by is Bible. But anyway, that when my mother came in, she says, Phil, so Mabel's nearly dead, says, get me some ice quick. And Phil began to get, you know, ice, a big pan full, and her and my sister, my mother, they was just wringing out them towels out of this ice water. And they was just bathing me down with it. And I mean, you get a pan full of ice, you know, and getting, you know, towels out of that, it's kind of cold. And she'd give me 2 aspirins. And well, when the doctor got there, my fever was 105.5 then. And he'd give me that quinine shot, and it rotted out. It rotted out down to the bone. See, you can feel that. It's the bone. And he'd give it too low down. He ought to give it up here high. See, I couldn't take quinine, because it just wouldn't stay there. But they had to give me shots, and it's knots in that arm all over now. Well, that's what caused that, is malaria. And I know what malaria can do for you.
Now, you had fever.
My fever was 105.5 when the doctor got there. I don't know how long Ben Mama had been washing me down, her and
with
my sister,
ice.
With ice.
And you had had it. Now, what is that about the sun?
I see, I was so sick. I could see
all
that
day.
Sun.
You couldn't see it.
I couldn't see it, but it was an imagination in me, but I was just that delirious. I was delirious.
In your mind, you could
see. And I could see just everything, and I just thought that sun, I can see it now. That's the reddest thing I've ever seen in my life. And the sun didn't even set in that direction.
Yeah.
And it was over the lot fence, and I thought if it ever got back down below that lot fence, I'd go with it.
Uh-huh.
Now that's just, you know, I just, my mind come and go,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And another time I had, when I was a kid, my mama said didn't do it. My mother, you know, Faye, you don't know anything about this, I reckon, but my mother, people back yonder, you was what you ought to be. You are associated with. And my daddy run a big plantation, you know, he owned it. And he had a lot of people that worked for him. And he had this here family of Kennedys that worked there. They were white people. But they lived in the back of this plantation back then. And I reckon I was about 3 or 3.5 years old. And my Bible's locked. And I went in convulsions. And I came to. And I thought it was two, I reckon. And they had this spoon in my mouth trying to keep me from eating my tongue up, chewing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it was Miss Kennedy sitting on the side of my bed with that spoon in my mouth. Mama says I wouldn't allow that woman in my house, much less sit on the sick bed side of the bed among my children. Well, whenever she came to the door out there, she stood out there at the doorstep and told what she wanted. She didn't want allowed in our house because they wasn't my mama's class of people. And but I never could do that. My daddy wasn't of it, you know.
Uh-huh.
My daddy was like I am. But my mama, my gave you was what you cracked up to be. When you saw her, ever hair was just so hose was just so clothes and everything else. She never went out of that house without her gloves and a hat and all such things as that.
Well, I never heard you talk about her like that, Mabel. I didn't realize
mother?
That, no.
Well, boy, and my mother's mother was, whenever her daddy was killed in the Confederate War, that she owned right near that country up there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it wasn't what they had, Guy. Either you was what you ought to be, they didn't have nothing to do with you. And a lady moved in the territory and she kept coming to my mother's home. My mother's home, my grandmother. She told mama told grandmother, she said, well, I'm going to quit coming to see you, Miss Gleason. She says, because you haven't been returned my visit since I've been here. Grandmother says, no, I won't until I find where you my equals or not.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my mother. Annie, my sister up there, is a lot like my mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you watch him. Emmy don't, my mother wasn't, she was nice to people, but still she wasn't as friendly as my daddy was. And Emmy's
now,
like
what about,
like,
say, I see, maybe got a mind on going home now, and I want to get this straight. That's, I never heard you say that, talk about that. I feel better already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I need. I may be just bored over here, maybe.
Well, you may be. You can get bored, and you can get out and go somewhere, do something, and see what it makes you feel about it.
Yeah. Now, what about this big house? That's your mother's house?
My daddy's mother's home was a huge thing. But my mother, my uncle's home, you know, was a huge thing. He got, in other words, he bought out the rest of, there were six of my daddy's brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And he bought my daddy's brother, one of them, Uncle Charlie, he bought all the rest of them's part out, and he had the home place.
Yeah.
And so he built this house in town, and just before he died, it was just like a little bit of painting and all on it that he would have it completed.
Uh-huh.
And he had one of those old colonial homes.
Yeah.
And his mother's home, those bedrooms were bigger than this room and that room together.
Yeah.
And they were so big you could have a bedroom up in the back and the living room in the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all. They were flying how so you could run a buggy under the house, anywhere you wanted to. A man could walk under them and never bend over.
Yeah.
If that high off the ground, what would I do if I had something like that now?
Yeah.
I never would get in and out.
Well, now, where was this place now that you just talked about where your mama was?
Well, my mother was raised at Warwick.
Yes.
Warwick and Oakfield were close together.
Oh,
you see, 5 miles
mm-hmm.
apart.
Mm-hmm.
And grandmother, her mother, owned to the creek on one side of the road and to the river on the other side of the road, mightn't you, for about 2.5 miles, I think. But her daddy died before my mother was born. He was killed in the Confederate War.
Yeah.
And he was an officer in the Confederate War, but I can't tell you just, you know, what he held. He was buried in Richmond, Virginia.
Let me see it. I want to get this in. Where were you when? Where were you living when the colored women brought you that quilt?
Out from Larry, Georgia.
But that is a different place.
Yeah, that was 40-50 miles down, further down. See, I was raised on one side of Albany, and this was on the other side of Albany. Where we was living.
Oh, you were sawmilling down there.
Yeah, we were sawmilling down there. That's after us married.
Yes.
But there was an old section in there, you know, of the, you know, this plantation.
Uh-huh.
It belonged to Holiday. And, of course, they were dead and gone, and I don't know who owned it. We cut the timber off of the place. And there wasn't nothing in the world but niggers lived back in there. But there was a lot of those tenant houses, you know, in there where the niggers lived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good set of niggers in there.
Mm-hmm.
All of them was mighty good niggers. You weren't scared of any of them. You didn't feel like a bomb like you do now.
Their communities differed like white ones, didn't they?
Yeah,
they got nice communities, mm-hmm. and some that's not so nice.
Some of them, you know, is just hoodlums, and some of them tries to hold themselves. Now, old Liza is a good example of what that people used to be. You know, she came from Georgia.
Now, where was your mama living when you had that, thought you saw the sun going down?
Oh, she was living up that oak field. That was where I was raised at. And I was about 8 miles from there whenever I sent to my mother.
Well, now, you had a lot of people around you. She did that, too?
Oh, my mother?
Uh-huh.
She lived in this town about like Micanopy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. High class, you know. Good time. Everybody attended, everybody busy with there.
Well, some of those towns, mighty nice towns.
Well, I tell you, I don't say it because it's there, and I don't say it because my older sister lives there now, but everybody in town, if they love my older sister. It's nobody there that doesn't love Mary Lou, I don't reckon. And whenever anybody used to be up there got sick, they died, the whole town was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And when my daddy died, John Rutland now, that he had a store there in town, and they was killing hogs, you know, and they kill hogs up there. I mean, they kill hogs, you know, for the use. And Papa died about 120, and Mr. Rutland was in that hog-killing business. You know, had everything, hogs dead and everything else to do. But those stores closed right now, I'm telling you, you couldn't see the house for the people. You know, men there, you know, wanting to do what they could and shoot in just a few minutes, there, of course, they called the undertaker. But they had done come in there, shave my daddy, bathe him, put him on clean clothes and everything else before the undertaker ever got there.
Now, what's the name of that little town?
Oakfield. Mm-hmm.
And that's where your sister still is?
Mm-hmm.
Older sister?
Yes, you know, that's where all the family's buried at. In the front, in our front yard there, of our place where I was raised at, it was 7 or 8 big oak trees, and when I say big, they was big, and that's where Oakfield got its name, one of those trees there.
Mm-hmm.
And my daddy sold off 100 acres there in town lots, and some of the nicest homes in town is built on those lots.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, cut it up.
Well, now when you lived up there till you married Phil, you hadn't seen that much of the world. You just you hadn't had any experience.
Oh, well, I'd been to Albany Cordell, 20 miles each way.
Well, you hadn't had any, you hadn't taken care of any cattle, a kayak calves.
Oh, my daddy had all that stuff. We stayed on the plantation about 4 miles from town, for a long time till my mama got tired of it, and she moved to town. They owned property then. She moved to town if they was kind of keeping us in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you were brought up for a long time out there.
Out there. I reckon I was about 5 years old, 5, 6 years old when they moved from that plantation.
Well, did you keep going back out there?
Well, he went back there a good deal. Now, over there, we had everything in the world, from pigeons on down out there.
Out there?
Turkeys, hogs, chickens, goats. That's one thing Mama didn't have to worry about us. But, you know, if they had a billy goat, a fight, I'm telling you. And they had a yard around the house, you see, with an old picket fence. And so that we'd push off a paling and go through that, you know, paling, and we'd get outside. And we had a swing out there and a big oak tree in front of the front gate. But Mama didn't have to stand out there and watch us kids. That goat scene that we stayed in that yard, that's kind of down, way down the lane, you know, like a lane going out here, you know, to the big road. And that old Billy'd see us out there, and I mean, he had come back on his hind feet, just hitting. And Buddy, we'd about run over each other trying to get back through that crack to get that yard.
He'd come on his hind feet?
Oh, boy, he'd come, you know, just running so, and then he'd stand up, you know, on his hind feet, you know, and run a little further, you know, and here he'd come. But he kept us inside. I'm telling you, make us so mad because we couldn't get out there and swing like we wanted to and kind of that goat.
I never had experience with goats.
Well, son, them old billies will fight whenever they get old.
Now they entertain you. They do. If you watch them,
they'll watch you. We could watch them on the outside of that gate, but we couldn't go out that gate. But we'd sneak out through one of them palings, you know, to keep Mama from seeing us.
But they're up to something all the time.
Yeah, those goats. I'm gonna tell you now. Those goats are something else. We had everything on out there on the plantation.
Yeah.
And they had one of the prettiest pigeon houses up, you know, up high, you know, with all these, you know, windows and doors and things, and it was a big thing up there.
Well, was that ornamental, or did you use
it? No, it was full of pigeons.
Yeah. And did you cook them?
I think they would get some of the little ones, you know, I was so small.
Yeah.
And I know one time out there they had a papa baited the birds, which I don't believe in that either. But he would have, Papa used to go in for these big shots, you know, would come, you know, he had some even friends from New York would come, you know, and they'd stay at our house, you know, and fish or hunt, you know, in the winter. And I've seen them have pottages, you know, strings like that, you know, that they would gut them and not pick them, just gut them, you know, and tie them up by the head, be cold, you know. And have these big strings, and they'd carry them away from there with them, you know, back wherever they lived at and all. And but he had this big dove shoot out at our house one time, and they brought birds in there by cotton baskets. Do you know what a cotton basket is? Do you? Now you not all that young guy.
I don't know what cotton
basket. Well, honey, they what they pick cotton, and they put this cotton. They cook pick cotton in a sack, you know, have that on it. And then they pour it in this basket, and this basket is worn, you know, about that big around.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
And they'd bring those things in by those cotton baskets, and my mama, I don't know how many niggers was there, you know, dressing birds, and lots of those men's wives came, you know. Too, you know, and they fried, and Mama used, I believe she said, a can of lard, frying birds, and they started feeding those people right after daylight, and they fed them all day long, you know, just one load right after the other, and I don't know how many sacks of flour was used, and bought flour, you know, by the barrels, and they used 24-pound sacks. Biscuits was cooked, and those men come in and eat, and then they'd go back out to this field. And so whenever they left, Mama, you know, they kept the livers and gizzards. And these women folks, most of them, that the wives lived close around, They didn't have no birds, nothing to eat. Those men had done eat them up. And they made a stew out of those livers and gizzards and smothered them down with hot biscuit and those gravy and a boy. Now that was good, too.
Oh, there's nothing better than giblets.
And so that that. I got meat now, Stu. I forgot
about it. Oh, peppers, child.
I don't think it'll hurt.
I'll go by the store and get some liver pills.
You feel better already.
Well, God, I hope you do. And if you need me, send from here. And if you can't get that cast over dynamite, I'll come up here and hold his nose.
I mean, I did.
Look at that cloud coming up over there.
And well, God take care of yourself, and I believe you'll feel better.
Okay.
I'll get those liver pills, guys.
Tell your husband I'm going to come over there and get him.
Okay, I will, my God. And don't you stay in this house too much. You get out of here and go somewhere. Come over there and stay up.
That's the end of that marvelous little visit, Miss Patterson. The first time she has talked on this tape over here is around 300, channel 2 over. 300, channel 2 over. So that makes a little better than a solid hour. A solid hour plus. As Ray says, when I have a hunch, sometimes it does work. And this is 3:05, Saturday morning. The 6th of June, 1970. Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over, around 305. Saturday morning, the 6th of June, 1970. The visit with Miss Patterson over here on remedies. She came over here to give me one of her remedies. She cures everybody else, she told Faye. She might as well work on me.